Today's shiur is dedicated for Zchus for Refuah Shleima, for Shalom ben Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechet Nedarim, Daf Ayin Gimel, and we will begin Deis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Gimel on an Aleph, three lines from the top, by Rabbi Bachama. By Rabbi Bachama, Cheresh, an individual who could speak and not hear, Maush Yofel Ishtay, can he do Hafara? So, the Ran explained, as we just said, that the cheresh that the Gemara is discussing is a person who could speak and not hear. And as the Rosh explains, because if we were talking about a cheresh who can't hear or speak, then the halacha is that since his kedushin is only a kedusha d'rabbanan, that's one pshat that I saw, his kedushin is only a kedusha d'rabbanan. So it's obvious that where the kedushin between the husband and the wife is only the rabbanon, such a husband doesn't have the ability to do hafara. Another pshat that I saw is that since he can't do the proper hafara, hafara requires saying, as we've been learning so often, that he's being made for the nether. This person who unfortunately cannot speak cannot be made for the nether. And another pshat that I saw is that the Rosh points out that he's, and as far as the halacha is concerned, an individual that is enim shemeyev, enim medaber, has the halachic status of a shaita. And since he has the halachic status of a shaita, so certainly an individual who's unfortunately in that category is unable to do hafara. So again, because of all of these explanations, the Gemara, again we begin by Rabbi Bachama, Cheresh, a person who could speak but not hear, Ma Shiyafel Ishtay, can he do hafaras nadarim? And the Gemara explains, Im Tam Tzolaymer, even if we'll say, as we discussed in our previous year extensively, the Baal Meifa B'lai Shmiya, that a husband can be made for the dharm of his wife, even if he didn't actually hear the nether, mishum bar mishmahu, because even though he might not have heard the actual nether, but he's aware of the nether, so because he's aware of the nether, that's why it's good enough that he could be able to do hafara. Aval cheresh, this individual that we're speaking about in our shir, the la bar mishmahu, who's unfortunately an individual who doesn't have the ability to hear, says the Gemara, that person may be in the category of Reb Zeira. And the case of Reb Zeira is something that we've learned often in Shas. The halacha is that if somebody donated 61 esroinim of flour to bring a korban mincha, the halacha is that he has to bring 60 in one vessel and one in the other vessel, because the halacha is we cannot properly mix 61 esroinim of flour when they're all in one vessel. The question, of course, is, asked the Gemara Masechta Menachos, so why, if we can't properly mix them, is that an issue? The halacha is that mixing of the carbon is not absolutely essential. So since the mixing of the carbon is not absolutely essential, so even if we can't properly mix them in that 61 in the vessel, it should still be acceptable. So which Reb Zeira answers, Haroi labila ain bila of makevaspa. Anything that can potentially be done, even if it's not actually done, ain bila makevaspa, then the mixing is not essential. But if it's not roi labila, if it's not able to be mixed, then the Belila Ma'kevaspa, the mixing is essential. So here too, we can make a rule that the halacha is that we don't have to hear the nether in order to be able to do hafara. But even if you don't have to hear the nether actually to do the hafara, you have to be able to hear the nether. And if we have an individual that we're speaking about in our shir, who unfortunately is unable to hear, such an individual is not qualified to do a nether. And as Tosfos explains, the Gemara Why is Bilanah Ma'akif? Because in Kachim, that there's a halacha, Shana Lava Kosov L'Akif. Only something which the Torah mentions more than once is absolutely essential. If the Torah doesn't mention it more than once, then the halacha is that it's not absolutely essential. But explains Tosfos in Masechta Menachos. The Torah did tell us to do it. If the halacha were that not only is it not essential, but you don't have to do it, so then why did the Torah say to do it? And that's why at least it has to be potentially possible. So the Shagas Aryeh, based on this, has an interesting question. Why will be the halacha if there's an individual who unfortunately can't speak, but he can hear? Could he be yaitza the mitzvah of Krishma through Shemayish Ka'inah? Do we say, ask the Shagas Aryeh, that the same concept that we just learned now, Kala Roy Labila, Ein Bila Ma'akevaspa, if it's potentially able to have potential, then it's okay. But if it's, there is no potential, then it's a problem. So here too, this person who can't speak is an individual who can't be yotze mitzvah krishma through shemei kaina. So the mefarshim explain. I sort of say for mail or oilam explains that the shagas aryeh means to say as follows. Bila is something that has to take place. We have to be able to mix the carbon. And if there isn't even a potential for the ability to be mix the carbon, then the halacha is that it's not a kosher carbon. However, explains the Shagas Aryeh, Shemei Kaina doesn't say, well, since if I could have spoken, so I'm yoitzu with hearing. Shemei Kaina teaches us a new din. Shemei Kaina teaches us that hearing is equal to speaking. So it's not like I can't speak, but if you could speak, it's good enough for me. It's not that way. Shemei Kaina is a new din in the Torah. It's a chiddush in the Torah that hearing is equal to speaking. And therefore, even if the person can't speak, the halacha will be that he's yotze krishma with Shemei Kaina. So here too, says the Gemara, Dom Rav Zeira, as we just explained, Rav Zeira's opinion is kol roy labila. Anybody, any carbon that is in a vessel with the amount that it could be mixed up, then even though you didn't perform the mixing, ain't bila ma'kevaspa, it's not absolutely essential. However, kol she ain't roy labila, but if you could not even potentially mix it because there's too much ingredients in that one vessel, then the bila ma'kevaspa, the fact that you could not have properly mixed it, becomes an issue. Oidoma. Or maybe we can make an argument that even though the Torah says v'shamel isha, the Torah does use the word v'shamel isha. Lo ma'akev doesn't have to hear the nether. As long as the husband is aware of the nether, the halacha is that that will be satisfactory. Amar Rava, Toshma, says the Gemara, the Braisa says, Rava, the Braisa says explicitly, v'shamel isha, prat le'eshes cheresh, that a wife of a cheresh who can't speak, who can't hear, is excluded from the parasha of Hafaras Nedarim. Shema Mina, the Brice is very clear that now, Astaran, in our previous year we had a discussion if you have to hear the nether in order to be able to do the Hafara. What's going to be, now, is this Brice a raya to that Gemara? So says the Ran, not necessarily. Because that Brisa, this Brisa that we just quoted, again, is speaking about a person who doesn't have the ability to hear. Since he doesn't have the ability to hear, that's why it's an issue. In our previous Gemara, we were speaking about a person who could hear, but became aware of the nether without hearing. But because he's a person that could hear, that may be good enough, even though he didn't actually hear the nether. Dar Sameach takes this point a step further. Kedar Sameach says that our Gemara brings a brisa that says the Torah HaKadosh says the words v'shami isha, and from here we learn prat le'eshes cheresh. Why doesn't the Torah bring a raya? Why doesn't the Gemara bring a raya from the pasuk v'shama avia, that we should learn from the pasuk v'shama avia that the father has to be able to hear? Says the Ar Sameach, the pasuk that speaks about the husband hearing is speaking about a Nara Marasa. And there the Torah is teaching us that if the Nara Marasa is married to a person that can't hear, then this nether can't become mufar. Why could this nether not become mufar? Very simple. The husband, as we just learned, doesn't have the ability to make for the nether. And the father never has a right to be made for a nether himself when he is supposed to do it jointly with the father, with the husband. And this will, of course, explains Dar Sameach, not be a case of Nisroikna, because we've spoken so much about Nisroikna in this perek, but the halacha of Nisroikna is only applicable when the husband is no longer here. But here, the husband is here. He just has this problem that he unfortunately cannot hear. So that's why, says the Torah, says the Dar Sameach, we couldn't speak about Vishami Iviya, because there is a different issue between the husband and the father. And that's why the Torah spoke about Vishami Isha. But so now we're learning, says the Mefarshim, it seems, as we just learned, and I think that's what the Ran is trying to say, that you have to have the potential to hear. But if you don't have the potential to hear, as we started the Shia today, a person is a individual who is Eina Shemeya. Since he doesn't have the ability to hear, we have the halacha of Reb Zeira, that kol ha'ra l'biya ein bila makevespa, kosh ein ra'i l'biya ein bila makevespa. But the Reb Baruch Ber makes a very interesting point. He says that our Gemara, at the end, has not relied on the concept of Reb Zeira. Our Gemara has answered the question based on a braisa, based on Xerius HaKosov, the Shami Isha, that you have to be able to hear. Says Reb Baruch Ber, so what's the nafkamina if the reason that an individual who can't be made for the nether, the individual who can't hear, is not able to be made for the nether because of the halacha of the Shami Isha, or because of Reb Zeira's Kol HaRoi Labila? What would be the halacha, says Reb Chanan, Reb Baruch Ber, in a case that he was made for the nether after that the hafara should be valid after 30 days, but he was made for the nether today with the stipulation that this hafara will become in effect in 30 days, and he becomes a cherish before day 30. If the reason is because of Reb Zeira, so when he did the actual act of hafara, he was an individual who was able to hear. So since at that time he was an individual who was able to hear, the afara will be a valid afara. But if we're going to say that there's a gzeirus akosif, that a person who can't hear is not able to do afara, so at the moment that we want the afara to take place, we can't have afara at that moment, because unfortunately at that moment he's unable to hear. Since at that moment he's unable to hear, then even though when he made the afara, he began the afara, he was able to hear, it doesn't make a difference. We have to have that ability. There's one more important point that I saw the Mefarshim point out. Our Gemara, as we just said, Reb Baruch Ber says, it's not the Maskan of the Gemara, but our Gemara quoted the very famous concept that Reb Zeira says, the Kol HaRoi L'Bila Bilam, the Taz says this, and it's really based on a Rashba, that we don't say this concept in every situation. We don't always say that Kol HaRoi L'Bila, that you have to be a person to be able to do something to be considered qualified. It's only where Chazal tell us that we should apply this concept. Ask the Gemara, Ibailu Baal, could a husband be made for the nedarim of two wives at the same time? And the Ram points out that this question is not only regarding a husband and two wives, or this question also applies to a father, if he could be made for the nedarim of two daughters at the same time. The Tzofnas Paneach discusses what would be the halacha if somebody could be made for the neder of a daughter and a wife at the same time. And he explains, how do we look at the hafara of a husband and the hafara of a father. If we look at the hafara that the Torah gave them, the right to do hafara, as essentially the same. So the same question, says the Ragged Shover, would apply to a father, to a wife and a daughter, just like a father and two daughters, just like a husband and two wives. But he says that we could make a strong argument that it's actually not the same. Why? He says, because we've learned the opinion of the Rambam, that the Rambam teaches us that a father can be made for all nedarim of a daughter. A husband can only be made for nedarim of inui nefesh and nedarim of beinoi lebeino. But if the neder doesn't fall into either of those two categories, then he can't be made for the neder. If that's the case, so now it's not, they're not identical. And since they're not identical, the halacha will be that the father could perhaps be made for the neder of a daughter and a wife, because they come from totally different places. And the Gemara explains what is the basis of the question, because the pasuk says, "V'im b'yoyim shama isha yaniya isa." Do we, so the pasuk uses the word isa. Do we say isa dafka? Dafka, one wife at a time? Or even though the Torah uses the word isa, it's lav dafka. It doesn't have to be necessarily one wife at a time. We know there's a parasha site in the Torah where the Torah says that if a husband warns his wife, atistri and pliny, don't remain secluded with a certain man, and then she remains secluded with him, then the husband brings the wife to the kohen, and the kohen makes her swear that she didn't become tamei. And if she doesn't admit that she's tamei, the kohen writes the parsha soita on a piece of paper and puts it into the mayim hamorim, water from the kior, which was in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and she drinks those mayim hamorim. And that's how we are able to determine if she's indeed innocent of any adulterous relationship. Amar Avina, so Toshima, the Braisa, and Masechta Soita teaches us, Ein mashkin shtei shoytas kachas. We don't give two soitas to drink at the same time. Neshliba gaspa chaverta. We're concerned that if we're going to bring two soitas to the Beis HaMikdash at the same time, as we just said a moment ago, we want the soitah, if she isn't innocent, to admit that she's not innocent. If there's going to be another woman there who is maybe innocent, and therefore sticking to a story that she's not innocent, and the other woman is there, maybe she would be ready to admit. But if the other one's not admitting, she also won't admit, and that will cause that the Shem Hashem should be, chas v'shalom, erased for no good reason. Rabbi Yudaimer, loyman Hashem azeh. That's not the reason why we don't give two soitas to drink at the same time. El mishum shenemar, because the Torah HaKadosh uses the word v'hishka. Hishka is a lashon yachid. And from the word hishka, the Torah says v'hishka es amayim. But since the Torah says v'hishka, even though as the Ran and all the other Rishonim say, the Torah doesn't use the word oisa. And our Gemara, as we just learned, the basis of the question is oisa. The Ran says it's enough that the Torah uses the word v'hishka, which also is a Lashon Yachid, and indicates, according to Yehuda, that it should be done one Saita at a time. There are other Rishonim, actually in Masechta Saita, that say that the Torah does use the word oisa in the parasha soita. The pasuk says v'shbia oisa akoyin. The pasuk says v'hikrav oisa akoyin. So just like our Gemara, the pasuk says v'hemet oisa. So just like our Gemara based its question on the fact that the Torah uses the word oisa to indicate one, here too the Torah used the word oisa a number of times in the parasha of soita to teach us only one at a time. So now we had two reasons why we can't be mashked, why we can't give two soitas to drink at the same time. One is because we were concerned if one won't drink, what will that cause, that will cause that the other one should also not admit, even though she may be ready to admit. And the other reason is because of the halacha of the pasuk says, Oisa of the Hishka. What will be the nafkamina? And nafkamina will be in a case where we see that there's a woman who's really concerned. It's not that she's being influenced by the other woman. So if the concern is because she's being influenced by the other woman, here there's no concern of being influenced by the other woman. But if the issue is because the Torah says exeris akasov, that we could only do one at a time, so even if the situation is obvious that that's not a consideration, one woman attitude influencing the other woman's attitude, the halacha is only one at a time. So now as far as our consideration, that our question, could you do two hafaras at the same time? It will be actually machlokes of the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yehuda of that brisa in Saita. According to the Tanna Kamma that says that we're not doing two at the same time because we're just concerned about the influence one has on the other. So he obviously is of the opinion that even though the Torah used the word vehishka, the Torah used the word oisa, it doesn't make a difference. So here too, even though the Torah used the word oisa by the parasha of Afaras Nadarim, it doesn't make a difference. And even though it says oisa, we could do more than one at a time. But according to Yehuda, who learns it from the halacha of from the word oisa vehishka, he's saying that when the Torah uses that type of a wording, the Torah is being very specific, one at a time. If that's going to be the case, the halacha will be by Hafaras Nadarim, you cannot be made for two at the same time. The Rambam is a very interesting Rambam, a difficult Rambam, because the Rambam, when he speaks about Hafaras Nadarim, says we can do two Hafaras Nadarim at the same time. But when it comes to Parashas Saita, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. So the question is, why by Parashas Saita does the Rambam take the word Oiso literally, and over here it doesn't? There's an interesting discussion amongst the Mefarshim in our Gemara. How can we suggest that we could do two Saitas or two anybody at the same time? Why is this not a consideration of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas? We're not allowed to do a number of mitzvahs at the same time. So the Magen Avraham says that the concept of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas is only said where a mitzvah that we're obligated to do. A mitzvah that we're obligated to do, there is a halacha that we can't do two at the same time. But when it comes to mitzvahs that we're not obligated to do, Hafara is not a mitzvah that we're obligated to do. Saita is not a mitzvah that we're obligated to do. There is no concept of mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. And that's why I saw Shaila, the Shaila Tshuvas Torah Lishma discusses, the Shaila Tshuvas Marsham discuss, are you allowed to make a siyum on Shabbos and Yontif? Are you allowed to make a Chanukas Habayis on Shabbos on Yontif? What is the consideration? Do we say Ein oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas, that we're not allowed to do mitzvahs two at the same time? But now that we've quoted the opinion of the Magen Avraham, where the Magen Avraham says that the only time we have a problem Ein oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas are by mitzvahs that we're obligated to do. These are not mitzvahs that we're obligated to do. We're not obligated to have a siyum. We're not obligated to make a Chanukas Habayis. Therefore, it's not a concern of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. Ramosha, Zatzal, in the Shalos HaTshuvas Igros Moshe, Eruchayim, Chelek Aleph, Simon Kef Pei Tes, takes a very fundamental approach to this entire issue of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. And Ramosha says that we only say the concept of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas where it's obvious that the person is trying to take the mitzvah and absolve himself by doing it in the easiest way, in the easiest fashion possible. And Rav Moshe says that that's the opposite of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us when it comes to doing mitzvahs. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us by doing mitzvahs is that we should show that we're actually eager to do the mitzvahs. But when we're doing it chavilas, chavilas, when we're doing the mitzvah in a way that it's obvious that we're looking just to get this responsibility off our heads, that's why we shouldn't do mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. But when it comes to a mitzvah, that it's obvious that it has nothing to do because I'm just trying to get the responsibility off my head. Because as the Magen Avraham says, I didn't have to do that mitzvah altogether. In such a situation, there is no din of ein oisim mitzvahs chavilus chavilus. Says the Mishnah, we learned at the beginning of the perek that a father and a husband have to do the hafara of their avarusa together. Says the Mishnah, begeris, once you have a begeris who's an arusa, so the woman is already 12 and a half years old. So at that point, she's not in the father's reshus anymore. And we're going to speak about how many days there were from when she became reshus in a moment. Or we have a gnara. And as we often explain in our shurim, in the time of Chazal, the marriage, which every Jewish marriage really has two stages to it, the erusin and the nesuin. And the erusin took place, and then typically the nesuin took place 12 months later. In the case of our Mishnah, the 12 months, the girl was a nara, and the 12 months have passed, and after the 12 months have passed, the husband hasn't married her. At that point, says the Mishnah, that's the second case, or we have an almana that has 30 days from the erusin, even though by a nara, who's a psula, the halach is, we give her 12 months between the, they gave her 12 months between the erusin and the suin. But almana, who already was married previously, and the reason they would give the girls 12 months is because they had to prepare themselves with all the necessary things that a woman, a family needs to have when we're establishing a household. Here, we're speaking about a woman who already was married previously. Since this woman was already married previously, she has already everything that she needs to be married, so 30 days is adequate. Rabbi Elazar Omer says, Rabbi Elazar, so in all of these cases, the halach is that the husband has to be, if the husband doesn't do it in the suin at the time that he was supposed to do, the halach is that the husband has to begin supporting her. And because the husband has to begin to support her, Rabbi Elazar Omer, the halach is that since the husband has to begin to support her, Yofer, he has the right to be made for the nether. The Chacham disagree, and it is the opinion of the Chachamim that ain't about mefer, the husband, even though this time for support has come, and the Chacham are not disagreeing. The Chacham agreeing that the halach is that if this situations happen, the husband has to give support, but that doesn't have anything to do with din of hafara, and the halach is achit kanes l'rishusoy. So, as the Ran explains, when we speak about the Begeris, the Begeris after the halach is the husband has to support her, there are different rules of how old this girl was when she became a Begeris, when did this girl become a Begeris vis-a-vis her Erisin? If a Begeris became a begeris only after she became mureses, then the halach is she waits 12 months. But if she became a begeris prior to becoming mureses, then the halach is she only waits 30 days. Because again, the way the Rishonim explain it, the women, as they got older in those days, it was uncommon for a girl that's already a begeris not to have been married. So since she's already older, she's getting prepared to be married. So even though she doesn't have a husband, she doesn't have an arus, she hasn't had erusin, she does prepare. And therefore, such a girl only needs 30 days. So that means if she had erusin before she was a begeris, she needs a year. If she had erusin after she was a begeris, she only needs 30 days. Begins the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Elazar, who in our Mishnah, when we spoke about the various women who the husband have to support her, and therefore, Rabbi Elazar said, the husband has a right to be made for the nether. Amar Rava, Rabbi Elazar, Mishnah Rishayna, Rabbi Elazar and the original Mishnah, Amar Dava Echad. The Tanan, we learned the Mishnah, the Masech Tekesubis, Daf Nun Vav Amin Aleph. The Mishnah says, Naisan Lebsula, Shnei Masachoydish Lefarnas Atzmai. As we learned, from the Erisin to the Nesuin, we give a Psula 12 months to prepare herself for the wedding. He gished in Masa Chodesh, and now the 12 months have passed. Echels Mishloi, and if he doesn't do the Nesuin, then the husband has to support her. Moreover, the halacha is a cheles betruma. The halacha is that a wife, a woman who's mureses, as we often say, is midaraisa and eshesish. Not only is she an eshesish, but she, in a certain way, her status of an eshesish is even more serious than the status of an eshesish of a nesua. Because the halacha is a nesua, if Rachman Slan is mezana, her misa, she's chayv misa, and the misa is misa's chenek. Whereas an arusa, if she's mezana, the chiv misa is skila. So certainly she's considered a wife, and we know that the wife of a kohen is entitled to eat truma. However, Chazal said there are two reasons, as the Gemara Masech, the Ksuba Staf Nan Zayinam Abayis, gave us the two reasons why, even though midoraisa, she's entitled to eat truma, we don't allow her to eat truma. One reason is because we're concerned, Shama Yashka Lachea or Lachaysa. She's still living in the home of her parents, so she's allowed to eat truma, but the rest of her family are not allowed to eat truma, they're not Kohanim. And we're concerned that if the husband is going to give a truma, her oris is going to give a truma, she may serve that truma to her siblings who are not allowed to eat truma, the Yisraelim. The other reason is simpan. Simpan means that the husband ultimately is going to marry her, and he may discover that she has a mum. And if he discovers that she has a mum, then the kedushin were kedushe tos. They were all based on an error. If they're a kedushe tos, she was never allowed to eat the truma. And it will turn out retroactively that she ate the truma when she wasn't allowed to. And because of that, Chazal said that even though she's entitled, but we don't let her. But teaches us now the Mishnah that once 12 months, that's the Mishnah Rishonah, that once the 12 months pass, if the husband doesn't marry her at the time that he's supposed to marry her, so at that point, she's entitled to truma. What about all the considerations that we just had? So as the Gemara Masechta Ksubasa teaches us, that 2 points. If the concern is Shemiyashka Chaisa, the halacha is that she is given a separate home where she doesn't live anymore with her siblings. And since she no longer lives with her siblings, there is no concern that she's going to serve the siblings the truma. And regarding the concern that maybe the husband's going to discover that she has a mum that will make the kedushin into kedusha tos, again, explain the Gemara Masechta Ksubas that he has this woman examined by her by his relatives who are able to identify that she's not a balas mum, and therefore we could be confident that there's no problem and the kedusha will not be declared a kedusha tos. But says the Braisa, Aval Hayavam, if there's only a relationship that a husband, as we know, we're going to speak about this more in our next year, but the halach is if somebody dies without children, the halach is his wife becomes a yavama and his brother is supposed to do yibam and marry her. The yavam, the halach is, everybody agrees, ein machal betruma. The halach is that if there's a relationship between a yavam and a yavam, but they haven't consummated the relationship, she's still only a shemeris yavam, the halach is that she cannot eat truma. And the reason is because, as we just said, that the reason a wife is entitled to eat truma is because the Torah says, kinyan kaspoy hu yoichlba. And the Gemara Masechta Ksubas Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph explained to us that a wife is considered the kinyan kaspoy of a husband. But a yavama is not considered the kinyan kaspoy of her yavam, and since she's not considered the kinyan kaspoy of her yavam, so she's certainly not allowed to eat truma midaraisa. Continues the Mishnah, Asa shish chadashim b'fnei habaal, if what happened, and the Mishnah explains that then. What happens if she was married for 6 months with her husband? She had erusin for 6 months, and then her husband died without children, and the halacha of yibam applies not just by the wife, by a nesua. The halacha of yibam applies by a arusa as well. So also shisha chadosh mifnei abal, v'shisha chadosh mifnei yavam. But filu, continues the Mishnah, kulam mifnei abal, she was married to the husband for 11 months and 29 days, chas yoim echad, and the husband died then, And the halach is that now she's a Shemeres Yavam. Since she's a Shemeres Yavam, she doesn't get to eat Truma, as we just learned. Oi, Kulam of Nei Yavam, Chasi Yom Echad. She only had Erisin, unfortunately, for one day. And then her husband died. And now she's been Shemeres Yavam for all this time. Since her status now is the status of a Shemeres Yavam, the halach is Einai Chels Truma. She's not. And she's not allowed to eat truma. When we learned the Gemara Masechta Ksubas, the question is, why did the Mishnah have to give all these various examples to teach us the same concept that a Shemeres Yavam doesn't eat truma? But continues the Mishnah, Zu Mishnah Rishoyna, that was the original halacha. Bezdin Shalachreim Amru, but the later Bezdin said, Ein Isha Echels B'truma, a wife never eats truma, Achet Tekanes L'chuppah, until they actually have a chuppah, she's not entitled to eat truma. And as the Gemara over there explained, because even though the woman was examined, the wife was examined by other men, by other women to discover she's not a balas mum, that isn't considered a thorough examination. That may not be an examination that will satisfy the husband. And therefore, we still have a concern that it may turn out to be a kedusha toss. And similarly, she may go back to her brothers and sisters. And that's why, until she's fully married, does the Mishnah Achorina say she can't eat truma? So our Mishnah that says that once she is entitled, once the 12 months pass, that Rabbi Elazar says the husband has a right to be mefer. Similarly, seems to be following the Mishnah Rishayna, that once the 12 months pass, they're considered husband and wife. Amar Abaya Demalahi. The two concepts of Truma and making Hafaras Nadarim do not necessarily travel together. Amar Abaya Demalahi. At Kanloishkimishmina Mishnah Rishayna. That Mishnah that we learned in Masechta Ksubas is focusing Elamechel Betruma, which is a Drabonon, and that's why the halacha is, and there's two explanations, which we'll give it a moment. What does it mean when we say it's talking about Truma? One pshat is that the entire Isser to eat Truma is only an Isser Drabonon. For as we've said so many times in our Shir, the Isser, the Midaraisa, an Arusa, is totally mutter to eat truma. It's only a gzeira derabanan. So the Mishnah Rishayna said that once the time of the marriage comes, the gzeira derabanan that she should eat truma is lifted. That's one pshat that the Ram gives. Other Rishayna give a different pshat. The truma that we're speaking about is truma bezman hazeh, and truma the chiyuv of truma bezman hazeh is a derabanan. So the entire issue of allowing her to eat the truma or not allowing her to eat the truma is only referring to something which is a truma derabanan. But here, we're talking about a nedarim, which are deraisa. Being made for nedarim, as we've been learning throughout a masechta, particularly throughout this perek, is a din deraisa. There may be a maloi. Everybody would agree that a husband who hasn't actually consummated the marriage does not have that ability to be made for nedarim himself. And we could go the other way. At Kan Lekshmin Rebbe Lezer, Ela Nadarim. Why is Rebbe Lezer lenient by Nadarim that the husband can be made for Nadarim? Could Rebbe Pinchas Mishmei Derova? Because Rebbe Pinchas Mishmei Derova teaches us, Kol Anadaris Abbas Baala Anadaris. He says that what is the basis for Hafaras Nadarim? The basis of Hafaras Nadarim is that when a woman makes a neder, she makes it understanding that she needs the consent of her husband. And therefore, as soon as she's in the category that her husband has to support her, she's making the darim, al-das balihi noideris. And that's why Rebbe Elazar says that husband who's obligated to support her can be made from the darim. Aval truma, but truma, which is not connected in any way specifically to obligation of supporting her, you could support your wife without giving her truma. Every Yisrael supports his wife without giving a truma. There, the Rabbanan will agree, that she's not entitled to eat truma until she actually has a full-fledged marriage. So I saw that Rabbi Chanan explains that if we're saying now a nug din, the kol nederes al das bal hin nederes, that the reason a husband can be made for nedarim is because she made for the nedar, she makes the neder on the basis of her husband consenting. What will be the halacha if a woman explains and says explicitly that she doesn't care about what her husband says? She wants the neder to be a neder no matter what. Will the husband have a right to be made for the nedarim or not? Will we explain? Will we apply the concept of kol nederes of das bala nederes? And this woman is saying that she's not doing it based on her husband's consent. Says Rabbi Chanan that even the man da'amah that says, even our Gemara that just taught us, the kol nederes of das bala nederes, the Gemara doesn't mean to say, says Rabbi Chanan, I saw others say, Karen Oyer, I think, says the same. Doesn't mean to say that it's just that we take into consideration. Rather, the way to understand it, they say, is that the Torah gave a right to a husband to be made for the nether. When the Torah gave the right to the husband to be made for the nether, maybe the reason the Torah gave the right to a husband to be made for the nether is because kol nederes al das bali nederes, but that doesn't mean that that condition has to be fulfilled in order to be able to make hafaras nedarim. That's just the basis of the halacha. But once we have the halacha, once we have that basis, the halacha will be that a husband can be made for neder even if a woman said explicitly that she's not making the neder expecting a husband and not doesn't care of a husband's consent. At this point, the Torah gave Exeris HaKosev that the neder is done. The husband has a right to make a farah.